We're going to continue in our study out of the book of Galatians. We're going to conclude with a few verses there. And then chapter 4. The authors of our lesson have entitled our lesson, Heirs Because of the Gospel. Heirs. If you're an heir, that means you got an inheritance. We have a wonderful lesson this morning. This is a wonderful lesson. It's a continuance of the one that we've had, you know, the classical argument set up, and we're just going to bring it on home this morning. You know, if you had one scripture in the Bible and you could only have one, you're a prisoner of war, and you happen to see this one that's printed, Galatians 4 and 4, you take it. So that's all the gospel you need. That's all the gospel you need. Paul continues, and he has tried to appeal, Brother B, at all levels to his audience in which he's addressing. You know, he started out way back there in chapter 2 on a personal level, and then, you know, he used that his personal experience to put him in check. You know, I can't you believe that you're so foolish to have gotten away from this original doctrine, this original gospel. And he gave them some real life examples using scriptures to bring the point home. And he's tired of talking at this point. He's ready to knock it out of the ballpark, and he says, so finally he's going to just wrap it all up and show them, bring it full circle, address some of the little small things that you and I may not have even thought about as we approach this particular lesson. Today, Paul here is going to really hit a home run, because he starts verse 26 off by saying what?
For ye are all the children of God.
See, he concluded last week by saying that you are an heir of promise through the seed of Abraham, and that seed is Jesus Christ. And then he says, now you are all children, 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 children. Don't get misled by that. That word children there is sons of God. All of you are now sons of God. I mean, you full-grown sons. And see, when you're full-grown sons, you have certain rights in the family. Yeah, that ran right past you. In other words, you can't keep acting like a child when you're full-grown. You can't keep thinking like a child when you're full-grown. Paul says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a full-grown son of God. Fully grown, and full-grown sons and daughters. Don't get it twisted. I saw some of the horns go up, Steve. You know, don't. I got my security team here today. You know, y'all scan me. I tell you, because when you see the Word of God and you see how applicable it is to your life, to realize that because I believe in the Bible, because I believe in the gospel that is contained herein, I am a son of God with sonship rights. You know, because sons have rights. You know, children have rights. You know, visitors them don't have rights. But sons got rights. Visitors got to be adopted into the family. We'll get to that later too. We'll get to that later too. See, because the visitor might think they don't have no rights. But if you're a child of God, you can go to the Grace Baptist Church, the Resurrection Baptist Church, the New Living Fellowship Church, the Church of the First Unborn, the First of the Newborn, the First to get off the hill, you're still a son and daughter with full rights. Paul wants to get that. Because you are the seed of Abraham and therefore the seed of promise, you have full sonship rights. Verse 27 says, why?
For as many of you have
Now, let me tell you what it doesn't say before I tell you what it says. It says, it does not say that for as many of you that have been dipped in the water, you put on Christ. He's not talking about water baptism here. As a matter of fact, Paul is talking about identification here. He's talking about being overwhelmed, being submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. It is spiritual baptism. It's more than doing a little washing up. See, because, you know, when you go to the pond and they dunk you in the pond, you just washed up. But see, what you want to do is you want to be dunked in the pond and then put on a robe of righteousness. See, you see, be clothed in righteousness. And Paul says, if you're a believer, that's exactly what happened. You have put on Christ. You're dressed in righteousness because you have been baptized in Christ. Not your denomination, in Christ. Not on your intellectual ascent, but in Christ. Not because you were raised in the church, but you are in Christ. And therefore, if you are in Christ, Christ is in you. And he says, that's why you are sons of God. Ah, let's see it. I see it, Paul. I see something getting ready to happen. Verse 28 says something. Because you've been baptized in the family of God, because you have been baptized in Christ, you now are one of us. Y'all didn't get it. One of us. How did you change that? Because I'm in there with y'all. We are family now. And in God's family, he doesn't see the little distinguishing factors that you and I do. The distinguishing to the point to where we want to either segregate or discriminate or choose or favor. That's why Peter would later write, God is no respecter of person. Because in the body of Christ, there's unity. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all gotta hear that. See, because I was greeted today. Colonel, and the chief told me, he said, look here, I've been instructed by the superintendent that we got to expo here, give you VIP, you know. And I said, how a big Humalalaka chief and potentate colonels gonna, you know, be giving a VIP to the servant? I ain't understand. I'm just a servant. But see, in God's economy, just like in family church school, we don't see those distinctions. We're all one here. We've got a ministry to do, and we do it. And you got to understand the audience. Because when you're talking to certain people will say, go get them. And other folks will say, ouch. So you can check who's either one you want at this point. But here, the word is clear. Once you become a child of God, once you're in the family of God, there is no, I want y'all to get this for me, there is no Jew, nor, neither is there, or, oh, wait a minute, it's saying that he's talking to a certain group of folk that are in that audience that believe. As a matter of fact, there were Jewish men in that congregation that Paul is writing to, that every morning that the Lord bought, you know what their prayer was, Steve? Lord God, I am glad that I am not a Gentile, that I am not a slave, and I'm not a woman. They prayed that every single day. And Paul says, when you're in Christ, that is an inappropriate prayer. Because you can be, because you are all of them. Because you are neither of them. You're neither bond nor free. You're not a Jew nor Gentile. You're not a woman or man. You're whatever God labels you. Y'all don't. Well, you see, I be listening. I listen to sermons. You know, this is how you can't tell nothing you don't know. You don't listen. This is how you want to label. You want to label somebody. You're this. You're that. God says, I see you as one. You're the body. Many members. One body. I see you as one. So there ain't no first. I'm head of everything. And then over here, I'm not head of anything. You listen to me because I'm a man. Paul says, run away from that because I don't even know what you're talking about. Paul says, God, Christ, does not know what you are talking about. He who knows everything, omniscient in every way, says, I'm not concerned about your race. I'm not concerned about your socioeconomic status. I'm not concerned about your gender. You're the one tore up about all of that. You're the one tripping over that. But God says, when you're an adopted son or daughter, you don't get tripped up over stuff like that. That's why he could call you sons of God, and the ladies can't say, well, what about us? Because remember now, this same audience, only sons, the oldest son, was an heir. Very rarely was there ever a woman to inherit her father's inheritance. Couldn't happen. Always went to the oldest son. So you see how Paul just, he done rooked them. He done bamboozled them, as Malcolm would say. He bamboozled these guys. Because here you are, you tripping about things that God doesn't care about. And so it is with us too. I mean, we still talking about whether somebody is a Jew or Gentile. We get hung up on that. And when I say Jew or Gentile, we're talking about races. We still about what race? God says you belong to the human race. Okay. He doesn't worry about whether you got high status, social status, or low social status. God says we're all servants. As a matter of fact, scripture is clear. The moment we get saved, we all become servants because a servant is simply one who ministers. There's neither male nor female. God has never been what do they call it? Chauvinistic, patriarchal God that we paint him as. Because see, I can read, and a W-O-M-A-N taught me how to read. And what she taught me is that if you read too fast, you miss more than what you gain. And in Genesis 1, it is clear. It says that, and God formed man out of the dust of the ground. It says later in Genesis that God put man to sleep, pneumatized him, breathed into him the breath of life. And he says, at the same time, God went in to man and took out that which he deposited in man in the form of woe, man. And man and woman, they became living souls. And he gave them, somebody say them, dominion. Somebody say dominion. Dominion means you in charge. And them wasn't him. And them wasn't she. Them was them. So God says, you're the one tripping. You're the one trying to get one up. You're the one play the compare and compete game. It's called mob psychology, but you still do it. Paul says, can I continue? He said, verse 29 says, what?
And if
you
be Christ, then are
you
ever and according to promise.
Got a question for you. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Now, the last time I checked, the scripture says, y'all are heirs of Abraham. Okay? Now, the only thing I need to settle here, definitive answer. I need to know if are you a woman? Or are you a man? Oh, okay. Promise, Dan. Let me move on over here. Are you feeling Billingsley? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you? Nolans. Is, I know Oakland, as I like to call you. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. What's different about you two than, let's say, this lady right here? Because she told me she was saved too. She got promise? You letting her buy in on your promise? Although I called on her first. Now I got to turn to her. You letting them in on your thing? There's some obvious differences there. But you know what? Only we see it. Because if God saw us as we really are, he could never look at us.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me? In other words, if he saw us as we really are, he wouldn't see us. But he sees us through the Christ that is in us. So when we say that you're no more than filthy rags, we're saying that the only way that God can look at you, this filthy rag, is because of Christ.
Amen.
Christ shields you.
Amen.
Every time the devil takes you to the throne of God and says, look at B, look at Phyllis. That lolly, oh, here go Bud. No, jump on a bicycle again, God. You know what God says? What you talking about?
Amen.
As simple as that. We the ones start tripping. We the ones want to get on and do our own thing. But you know what? Don't be too hard on yourself. There are a whole bunch of reasons why people discriminate, segregate themselves. Because I'm gonna tell you, you know, you take our deacons there. They were talking about the jazz faster. There's some of our deacons, they like jazz. There's some that like rap. There's some they ain't gonna sing nothing but Nero, my God, today. To the Lord come home. They don't like nothing else. That don't mean that you need to fight over. There ain't nothing for you to split over. That's a non-essential. What you like to hear? So if you like to hear all that kinds of music, that means that you may go to different churches. And that's why you can't sit up here and complain about the music this particular Sunday, because they're not stroking your song. But if they're not singing your song, let me tell you, brothers, something. If they're not singing your song, they have a wild choir. Make sure your wife gets in it. They'll sing your song every time. Matter of fact, they sing one of my favorites today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You a sister? Have that brother join the male chorus. They'll sing your song just the way you want it. My point, back to my point, because I got 30 minutes, back to my point, is that God is not a respecter of person. He just sees you as sons. He sees all of you in here that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost as sons. And as sons, you have rights. Very important because of what we're about to go into. So if you're in Christ, you're now a seed of Abraham. So why are you always concerned about the Jews who are seeds of Abraham. They're not the only seeds. The promises that God made to Abraham were twofold generally, land and salvation. And Paul writes to the Roman church, he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. He says to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And there we're only talking about order, because God is a God of order. So when you start talking about why did God only talk to Adam? Why did God talk to Adam first if he gave him dominion? He was first in that form. So if he's first, he has a function. You can't tell anybody anything that you haven't witnessed, that you haven't experienced. There's always got to be a first of something. Somebody saw it. Does that make them greater? Absolutely not. Ah, we're talking about this law versus faith, law versus gospel, law versus grace. And Paul is just wrapping it all up. He says, because if you fully understand that God is a God of relationship, all these other little things are just minor. But somebody's tall, short, wide, narrow, sleep, not sleep, tired, not tired. You're one in Christ. You see, and that's the unique thing, is that if you can just get in Christ, all that other stuff just fades away. You'll be like Whoopi in The Color Purple. I may not look like nothing, I may not know nothing, but God, I'm here. I'm here. May not like how I look, may not like how I act, but I'm here. Here come Dickie Steve. Let's get our long little group, you know, and exclude him. I'm here. I'm busting in. I'm boasting up all the group. He is so rude, he just come right on up in our business. Yep, because I'm one of y'all. Y'all ain't got no business. We got business. For one, that's right. That's right. Oh, as a matter of fact, oh, thank you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Notice it says full grown cheering. Sons, full grown. That word there, and we'll see it a little later, that word adoption gives the connotation of full grown. You don't come in as babies. There's not one in here that comes in as a babe. Even a baby that professes Christ does not come in as a babe. A child, your grandson, your grandchild professes Christ, they have full sonship with you. Because that's where that describes the process, because you have full grown rights, but you don't know about all those rights yet. You got to learn about those rights. Yeah. A child, that if their parents die and that child is 8 years old, they don't know about running a kingdom that you may have left them, a dynasty that they don't know nothing about it. We're going to get there. You see? But guess what? They own their property. They own that kingdom. Oh, this is a beautiful lesson today. Great question. Leads me to my next point, but ain't there yet. Quite there. Ain't quite there. Because I want to say, now I say that what? The issue is, you're a full-grown son with rights, Phyllis, but as a child, you know more than under the servant's control. The tutor. See, the law. He's setting them up. He said, the law was your tutor. Law was your schoolmaster. The law was your guardian. And even though you have sonship, you know, you can't do, because you're governing, you're regulated by a tutor, by a slave. Slave is a bond servant. Don't own anything. Matter of fact, he or she is owned. But the child who knows nothing about the world can't assume that responsibility of running the daddy's empire. So that child is assigned to a servant at birth. That tutor takes that child to school. And it is determined at a certain time when that child, it's like right now, for those of you who have young children, don't dare leave them an inheritance if they're 10 years old. Understand what you're saying? Yeah, don't make them an instant direct financial heir. You set up a trust. You need somebody to manage that for them. Because a 10-year-old child, they may do nothing with it, or they may walk up one day and say, here. Because they don't know how to handle it, you see? So they are assigned a tutor or a trustee to help them along. But understand one thing. Even though, well, Paul has said something very significant, they are heirs to all of this, they still need to be taught. They still need to be taught. They need to be tutored. That was the law. But at a certain time, that child could be in the teenage year, can say, you the bond servant. B, excuse me, please don't come in my room without knocking. Or me and Lady D here, we're going on the outside. We don't need you accompanying us. He's at that age. He can do that. And you know what B is going to do? Yes, master. Before, that child was humble and submissive, totally sold out to the bond servant. But at a certain time, bond servant steps back and something else takes place. But that child still was the heir all along. When they were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 20, who knows what age they set. And it varied probably for different folks. But verse 2 says what? Did I tell y'all something that wasn't in Scripture? Okay, so you ready for yourself, okay? See, notice it's the Father who determines. It's the Father who determines. You might have a child that says, oh, no. At 10 years old, this child right here is quite capable of not being tutored. That's up to the father. And nobody else can say anything about it. And you can't go to, well, he got favorites. He didn't let me do it until I was 16. You know how your siblings are now? You know, you got three children and one. You didn't let them date till they was 17, almost 18. And the other one was 16. And the other one was 12. And they tell my, that must be a favorite. Well, as much experience as you have accumulated, that child at 12 should have the benefit of all of that. And Brown, you're right. In my house, it'll be a wish. You know, 12. That's right. Matter of fact, at this stage in my life, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever, ain't nobody dating in my house. Nobody. But I digress. But under tutors and governors, even so, we what? In other words, that tutor was assigned. When we were children, we were there. But also, now understand one thing. He also has a Gentile audience. He's got somebody who's not a Jew in there. So, the Jews It's clear to me what he's saying there is that you under the bondage to the law. You up there trying to satisfy the law. These Gentiles here, the elements of the world, it probably should suggest a more demonic meaning. In other words, the devil had you out. That's what you were subject to. Because the wages of sin is simply death. Okay? But he's slowly carving this thing down. Because in verse 4 of Galatians, chapter 4, is one of the most beautiful verses. Would y'all care to read it? But when the here's what's so interesting about that. When the time was right. If you think earthly fathers are smart enough to determine when their kid has a need and how that needs to be addressed, don't you think our Heavenly Father knows all of that? The one who created us? But here you see in Galatians 4 and 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come. In other words, when the time was right. I mean, it's right on a number of things. When, because you have to look at what happened. God sent his son. He sent his son when the law no longer could do what needed to be done. You don't understand. Because the Old Testament clearly said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Oh, I'm catching on that. So that means that you, and you did all the sinning you could do. There ain't no more sin that you can do. I'm talking about types. We're not talking about repetitive. We're talking about types. There ain't no more sin. There was no more. Man had been as crazy as man could get. So when y'all think that, oh, things are showing up bad now. Oh, it's so terrible. People will do anything now. People will have always done anything. People have been freaks from the start. And freaks don't know how to do anything but be a freak. They have been freakish. They've been sinners. They've been doing stuff. That would just, hey, you better read your Bible. These boys were creative in every way of how to be crazy. But here, you got to understand what Paul just said, Terry. He says, but when time couldn't go on any longer, when the sin glass was full and overrunning, God sent his son. Because he had already declared, you can't save them unless a sinless one comes to save them and sheds that blood. So God, being a just father, being an on-time God, being a father who knows our every need, said the time is right. Oh, the time is right for a lot of other reasons. You know, Pastor Brown has preached on this a couple of times about, you know, how the Roman highways were established and ready for the gospel. It was easy to transport, all that kind of stuff, you know. But I just believe that the time was right. I want to focus on the sin. That means that nobody can run up in my face now and be talking about, you're a bigger sinner than me. Because when the time was right, when man could not sin anymore, Christ was sent forth. And you know what he says? Simple. Made of a woman. Do y'all really know what that means? It means he who is God stepped out of divinity, retained divinity, and came down here looking like a man. Y'all didn't get it. He not only came down, he came through the birth canal of a woman. You're talking about the one who sat at the right hand of the Father from the very beginning and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We're talking about the one who spoke and light come running at 186,000 miles per second, stepped into time. And the creator came down here looking like his creation, the bread of life. Y'all know he is the bread of life. Came down here dependent on a mother's breast. Oh, God. Oh, y'all don't get it. The one who is sinless in every way comes now dying because the law says any man that sins shall die. But the scripture is clear. He who knew no sin became sin for us in the fullness of time, when the time was right. He had to be a man to know how what a man goes through. But he had to be God in order to be sovereign in every way. And I ain't talking about half and half. Any basic doctrine student, any of my current or past basic doctrine students can tell you it's no 50-50 deal. You know how I know? What? Well, watch this. Let me see. Let me see a recent graduate basic doctrine. What is it? What is Christ? He's what? Oh my goodness. Seems like everybody knows. He's 100% God, 100% man. Homo rusa compatre, homo rusa patre. Very God and very man, all at the same time. In the fullness of time, when the time was right. Made of a woman. It shows you his deity and his humanity. But made under the law. That gets me. Wait a minute. He's God. He gave the law, which goes to show you nobody's, no man is above the law. Oh, y'all better help me out here this morning. He came made of a woman, made under the law. But then he gives a reason. Why? Why did he have to come down here made of a woman and made under the law? Next verse. In other words, to take all you sinners off the market. Jesus comes down here to take y'all off the market. Because on the market, you still gonna be in slavery and enslaved to sin. So he comes down here to redeem. In other words, buy back. But you know what's really interesting? How you gonna buy back what's already yours? That's just like God. You see, to fully understand that, you'd have to understand what Jesus said after he got up. Here's what he said. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. See, he, even though he owned it, he had first dibs on the buyback. He's the only one that could purchase it. So he goes and purchases it. Made under the law. Made under a woman. Not to break the law, but to fulfill it. See, the law can't be fulfilled if Jesus don't come. But that ain't the shouting news in that verse. Here's the shouting news in that verse. To redeem. Wait a minute. I didn't. Brother Carter, I didn't hear him. I didn't hear him. To redeem what?
Them.
Okay. Now them. Didn't say him. Said them. Redeem them that were
under law.
And then that purpose, demonstrative. A pronoun there. That what? Oh, stop. You're reading too fast. That what? Wait a minute. I thought he was going to redeem them. See, Paul has snuck something past y'all. Paul said, I ain't like y'all. Paul said, he came down here to die for y'all. Came down here to die for y'all. No, that ain't what he's saying. That them is those that were under the law. And we know one thing. The Gentiles were not under law. Oh, glory. Y'all don't hear that. He just set him up. Oh, he just knocked him out the ballpark. Because he's saying, first of all, how can you have somebody subject to something that they never was under? The laws of Czechoslovakia. Anybody been there lately? You been there? When you went there, as an American citizen, if you broke one of their laws, what would happen? They would put you out of the country. They take you to the airport. I know I've seen this demonstrated when doing my stint down in Australia. Them boys go down there and they act the fool, you know, and they'd be in handcuffs. Well, they'd be getting on the plane. They put them out of the country. Because as an American citizen, they ain't subject to that law. They put them out. But you better not hurt not one of them, especially an armed forces member. What you better do is you better hope. Now, we know there are treaties now that allow them to do all of that. But they weren't subject to the law, so they put them out. So they weren't responsible. So Paul says, these folk were not subject to the law. But he says, he came that we might receive. The we there is all of us. The you is Bud. The we is Bud and all the rest of us. Y'all got this? You get this? So what it clearly answers, for those of you who are still debating, running, chattering your gums about, you know, grace versus law, are we under the law? Read the Bible. All you got to do is read the Bible. We weren't under the law. We weren't subject to the law. But Jesus came to redeem those who were. The Jews that were under the law, Jesus came to redeem them and us too. Amen. That's why he says the gospel is for the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Y'all get this? Y'all get this? Oh, he blew them away on it. When I saw how he set that up, oh, I said, oh my goodness. He just really. But then he said that we might receive the adoption of what? Adoption's full grown. He came, he had to die on the cross so that we could be sons, so that we could be his. That's the only way he can claim us. He had to die. If Jesus Christ of Nazareth had not got up on that pole on Friday afternoon and died and got up, you and I would not be sons. We would die from the law, because James is clear. Second chapter of James, verse 10, says, if you transgress one of these, you transgress them all. So all you little goody two-shoes, my little church ladies and gentlemen on the second row here, you know, y'all got it going on, and, you know, y'all don't do nothing wrong and all that kind of stuff. You don't do that stuff to mother people on that back row back there. I said, that's a rough row back there. Oh, that row in the back, oh, yeah, that's a rough row. That's a rough road. You know, they admit that guilt. They admit that. Matter of fact, my daughter said, not my daddy, not my, oh, no. Goody two-shoes, you know. Perpetrating a fraud. You know why? Because if you broke one of them, the one that's the most benign to you. But see, God doesn't like any of it. So, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I just can't believe they snort all that cocaine. They drink all that skull. You know, they run around late at night. They just stay out at night. But they forget when they was out there, they stayed out all night doing their thing all night. But I don't do that no more. Too bad. You done broke the law now. Too bad. Oh, this is weird. But he says that we are adopted. And it ain't like you go adopt a little baby. We're just as we are. We're bought into the family. Verse six says, and because
we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Somebody go get the stretch cart, because somebody's going to fall out here in a minute. Here. Right here, it says, because you're an adopted son, God instantly sent his spirit so that the relationship between you, here this grown son. Now, most folks, when they adopt little babies, it would be nice to adopt this little baby, you know, take her home, you know, raise her up, you know, she'll be mine. She'll forget, you know, that Michelle was ever around, you know. But as a grown son, when you adopt it, you don't realize some people are 80 years old when they get saved. They adopted. They got the same rights you got. Some people get saved when they're 9 years old. They got the same rights as you got. They full-grown sons. And the Spirit comes into them, and the Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. In other words, God sends his Spirit because he wants that intimacy of relationship with you and I. He wants us to be close. He wants us to be like you've been in the family all your life. Like we just biological children. We know that's impossible. But that's how he wants us. And that's how he sees us. And that's why. Because you don't know what to say. Because you don't know what to do. He sends us a spirit who teaches us how to deal with him. Remember that tutor that we had, that bond servant, who really, he was somewhat familiar with the kingdom, how the kingdom worked, but he sure didn't know all the intricacies. But here, our Heavenly Father, he don't trust it to a mere servant, a tutor. He sends himself. Oh, y'all don't hear that. Yeah, did y'all see that coming? He sends himself. When we say the Holy Spirit is in you, that means that God is in you. He sends himself. And that's why when you cry out, Abba, Father, he knows exactly every ache, every pain that you have. You know why? Because he's in you. And see, you can't fool him. Because you go to a doctor, he gives you what I call an external exam. But here the Holy Spirit is on the inside. He's got inside information. And when you go falling on your knees, oh, Lord, it's near the end. It's going to be over with for me. The Holy Spirit is saying, Father, I've checked the insides. And, hey, you've got mild indigestion. He's going to live. Oh, y'all better help me. We serve a mighty God. So you stay. What it's showing here, Sister Carter, is that the law could never do for us what faith in Christ can. All right. The law could never adopt us as sons. Yes. The law only brings death. Right. Faith in Christ brings life and life eternal, which is the promise that he gave Abraham. Yes. And finally, therefore, I not only got an inheritance from God, I got God. Y'all don't hear me. How dismissive we are. How cavalier we are just to walk around thinking that we can just treat everybody right, you know, have a nice smile, you know, be kind to folk, and it's going to be all right that we are heirs. You're not heirs because you got pretty white teeth and could smile. You're not heirs because you know somebody. You're not heirs because of who you know, what you've done. You're an heir because of what Jesus Christ has done and your faith in him and him only. That's why we need the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. Stop running from church to church. class to class, thinking that I ain't going down there and messing with that crazy sneeze today, ain't dealing with him. You know, tell me something I really don't want to hear. Let me tell you one thing. You better hear the gospel, because that's all I'm going to put out. There ain't nothing about the gospel that should offend a child of God, because the truth is the truth. Yeah, laying all this out here, you know, but it's one thing. Like, and when you can say, well, who is he to pontificate? And what about such and such? And? The thing about it, you just can't get me to buy in on the law. You doing good. You're a nice person, but there'll be nice people in H-E-double-L. There'll be some very nice people. Trust me, smart people in H-E-double-L. There are some people that won't look like nothing. They ain't even got two teeth like Leon Spinks, you know. But they will be there. You know why? Because they trusted in Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect. We're adopted into the perfect family. We're adopted into a perfect family. So you can't talk about, you know what? Those folk down at Resurrection just make me sick. Which one? The unsaved ones? I know you got to be talking about the unsaved folk. Oh, you know, we got a few. We still got work to do, you know. But the issue is, you can't be sick of folk who are in your family. You can't be sick of family. You're talking about you're not going to speak to your sister? You're not going to speak to your brother? I put it the wrong way. I'm sorry. I put it the wrong way. You're not going to speak to yourself. See, because when you get that attitude about me, talking about I ain't going to speak to him, you go right back to the day's lesson, verse 28. In God, there's no bond or servant, Jew or Greek, male or female, because they're all one. So when you're talking about me, you're talking about yourself. Because I'd be one with you. Even one you don't want to be. Snoring and all up in your face. You know, laughing, hollering, you know, loud, you know, quiet, subdued, pensive some days. But I'm in Christ.